recall what it was like for our people, our ancestors, who were in captivity. We are to somehow put ourselves into that experience as well. So it's not just a passive listening activity, it's more of an active listening ritual that we do. So not only do we reflect on the history, but we put ourselves into it. And we are commanded to do it every year, to put it back into perspective so we don't lose what is relevant. The idea coming from captivity to liberation, it is a message of hope. It doesn't just apply to the people who will be observing this Passover, but it's for all of us. That idea of going from the struggle and from the unknown into knowing that indeed there will be a day that we will all be liberated, however you want to define that.
It's also about sheltering with family. How do Jewish families usually do that? And how might that be different this year?
In this particular context, the fact that our families are not able to sit in the same room and share a meal is very difficult to comprehend. However, obviously many of us are doing this with technology, you know, with the Zoom. And many, many, many families are doing this so that we can somehow be connected as we go through these observances and rituals to do it virtually. And so for one thing, on Wednesday evening, I am going to be presenting a brief program just for the MMT community so that we could somehow feel connected to see our congregant faces on the screen, so because we have not been in the sanctuary for the past month. So I'm telling you two levels. If one is to make sure that we people, that we're not alone, even though we are in our own home, but the fact that we can reconnect with our community here, and more so the very unfortunate reality that many of us, our loved ones, will not be able to be here with us, or that we cannot be there with them. But many of us are going to continue to do the ritual, and hopefully, you know, because we have special foods, and there are a few of us that are willing to go out and to buy some of those, like matzah, that may be available in some of the local supermarkets. But I have also been trying to tell people that whatever you have, get the idea that matters. You may not have everything that you need in order to have a full service related to the Passover Seder.
Describe the Seder, would you, for Gentiles who may not know the purpose of the food in the service?
Okay, the Hebrew word Seder means order. And in this particular festive service and meal, we experience the tasting of matzah, which is unleavened bread, because the people did not have time to bake bread when they left from Egypt to go out to the Red Sea and on to freedom. So we're supposed to eat that. We have this apple and nuts dish that's supposed to remind us of all the mortar and the bricks that the slaves have to build for people living in Egypt, even though it is sweet, but it's something for us to balance because we also have to eat or taste bitter herbs, which is usually like horseradish, and we're supposed to eat a little bit of each to recognize the balance of sorrow and suffering and joy, and that there's always hope as the outcome of that. And then we have parsley or some green vegetable to celebrate the arrival of spring. Again, that is a message of hope. And we have salt water, and we're supposed to dip the parsley into the salt water because the salt water is supposed to remind us of the tears of those who were enslaved. And again, it's all about reenacting the story with various foods and, of course, some very significant prayers, even though it is the story of the Jewish people. But I have to tell you that this story really is relevant to many, for all of whom humanity in terms of what it's like to be oppressed or in slavery. Because even to this day, we recognize that there are still people in various parts of our world that are oppressed. And because we tell this story, it reminds us of our responsibility, that our work is not done, and that there is much more for us to do.
Part of the Passover story involves plagues, and one of them is disease. Is it important or incidental to have that part of the story this year?
It is extremely important, and every so often when we gather around the table as we go through the various rituals, we often talk about and identify the current plagues that are going on in our world. We traditionally have 10, and now we have 11. And the 11th one is the COVID-19 virus. So yes, it's very relevant, and it's very important for us to bring it onto the table. How could we not?
What else should be said about Passover this year in this time?
I want to emphasize the fact that usually when we gather around, it is a festival filled with so much joy because we are able to, because we're celebrating the fact that we were once oppressed and now we are free. But more and more, the truth of the matter is that there's still so many people that are still oppressed. We can talk about those that are not able to remain home and have to go out during this time and not able to remain isolated because they have to work, and with all due respect to all of our first responders and all people that are working in the hospitals and in the grocery markets and all of those people, they are, it's almost like as if their hands are being tied. And I believe that retelling the story of Passover really shifts our minds to identify what we must do, what is important, the fact that we are not entirely free until all of us can feel safe and healthy. And so, yes, I believe that this year's Passover is going to go beyond the traditional story and leaving us with thoughts for us to say, what can we do? How can we help? It's about action and paying it forward, because going back to our own Jewish history, we know what it was like to struggle. However, this is about mortality. And during the times that we are in the unknown, I think it's important that we have to believe that there is some hope. Hope is what we need. And in order to obtain hope, we have to step out, recognizing that there are so many of us that are being tied down by the horrific virus.